Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
This is real. This is news. Good news. Great news. And it doesn't require exposition. It doesn't require illustrations. It doesn't require analogies. The stone was rolled away. The tomb is empty. Jesus lives. This man who proclaimed a new kingdom, but a kingdom not of this world. The Son of God, who shared a message of hope, freedom, deliverance and forgiveness, and thereby offended the religious authorities. He lives. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. He is indeed risen. And our faith hinges on this fact. Without this, Jesus might well just be a good man. Although one who made outlandish claims. Or a prophet, as Muslims claim. But the resurrection vindicates the claims that Jesus made for himself. They vindicate his position, his power, his message, the gospel. Jesus made many claims about his position. He acted like God. When you read through the pages of the Gospels, that becomes very clear. He healed. He forgave sins. And this is one of the things that infuriated the religious authorities. You can be sure that if there had been anybody to provide and squash the fledgling church, it would have been provided. Now, after the crucifixion on Good Friday, the followers were afraid. Followers who were doubters like Thomas, who had been seeking position like the brothers James and John, who wavered between intense loyalty and denial like Peter. But the resurrection changed them. Pentecost changed them. 11 out of the 12 disciples were martyred. They gave their lives because they realised the power and life in the message, and they had to live it and share it, no matter what. The early church testified to the resurrection, and as time went on, the gospel writers testified to the resurrection. Early believers gave their lives testifying to the resurrection, rather than having to worship the Roman emperor. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. We don't really understand the cross, and we don't really understand the resurrection. But we do know that through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus overcame the powers of death and hell, overcame rebellion and mutiny against the Creator, overcame the sentence of death. You see, the cross turned the tables on the powers of chaos, and it gave God the ultimate victory. Jesus' death on the cross did something amazing. That all our theories of atonement and redemption are still inadequate to explain. There are many doctrines, theories and explanations, and we heard some of them in the Ephesians reading. Explanations as to how the cross enabled God to give his righteous judgment on all sin while calling us back to himself. And yes, it did. Theories about God redeeming us as a slave is redeemed. And yes, he did. or giving himself in sacrifice? And yes, he did. Or God's total self-giving to rescue us? And yes, he did. And each of these, and many others, contain parts of the truth, but none fully explain it. Our theories, our doctrines are inadequate to explain all that God did for us, all that God does for us. They're inadequate to explain the breadth and depth of God's love. But today, that cross is empty. Because Jesus not only gave himself to overcome death and separation from God, but was raised in triumphant vindication of God's plan and purposes. God raised Jesus as he raises us. Yes, this life is still transient, with war, crime, poverty, disease, sickness, and death. But we can make a decision for eternity now. This isn't fantasy, it's not a children's storybook, it's not something unreal. It's not pie in the sky when we die. It's living with the love, hope, forgiveness, and grace of eternity right now, even though we will all die. So in Christ are all made alive. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Now we all know that since the beginning of time, people have done their own thing. We've rebelled. We've sought power for ourselves. And over the 2,000 years since the cross and the resurrection, we've continued to see the same rebellion at work, even with God's story. People have tried to manipulate it. They've taken it for granted, even domesticated it. They've tried to turn it to human and political ends. Or they've forgotten it, or ignored it, or dismissed it. But they cannot overcome the power of the cross and the resurrection. The story continues to this day. So what are we going to do with it? How are we going to receive it? What difference is it going to make to us? Is it a nice story to sit in a bookshelf? A trinket to be kept in a box? A charm to be worn around our necks? A nice way of life about being good? Of course, the truth is it's none of those. They're all inadequate to express the power of God's redeeming and transforming love, as are so many of the things that we say about it and do with it. The good news is not just that Jesus brought a message about a new kingdom, a new era, a dawning of salvation, freedom from oppression, healing, hope, and the immense love of God. It's that Jesus, who proclaimed it, was vindicated through the resurrection. We can bend it, break it, and manipulate it, but God is always faithful and true, and his purposes come to fruition. God breaks through. God wins. And the power of the resurrection continues to this day for those who turn to God. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And we are his church. He calls us to be his witnesses today. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. And if he doesn't, he wants to. Let me just say that again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. And this same Spirit raises us to everlasting life through Christ. This good news, great news, magnificent news, incredible news affects the past, the present, and the future. It has implications for our past, our present, our future. For your past, your present, your future. The past is changed. Whatever you've done, you're offered new life. God offers you new life, a new chance. And this is something we struggle to believe because we rarely, if ever, see this. There's nearly always stigma attached to bad deeds, to things that we've done, even things that we've thought. We struggle to forgive ourselves. The reality of our experience in the world is that we so rarely see the past wiped out. So it's no wonder that we often find it difficult to believe that our past in Christ can be cleansed and renewed and changed. But that is the promise of God. Forgiveness for the past. And if our past is forgiven, that's the opportunity for new identity. So that gives us a present full of opportunity. Opportunity to receive God, to worship God, to live for God. And many people just tramp through the drudge of life, through the ups and downs of life, and can't imagine that there's something better. But God offers us his love, his peace, his reassurance, a new identity in him. So let's live now in that new identity. And the future has changed because God has given us life. If we accept that life in our present. So if we accept God in our present, he will give us his future. A future of being with and in God. A future of knowing his peace and love, sustaining us through whatever we face in this life. A future knowing we live in eternity now. And one day, when this fragile human life ends, we will continue to live in and through God who calls us his own. Eternal life starts now and goes on for all eternity. The good news affects our past, our present, and our future. All this because Jesus lived, died, and was raised for a message of reconciliation to our Creator, a message of new life in him. Jesus brings us life, life in all its fullness. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It could be that for many of us, we've heard similar messages to this before, maybe many times before in our lives. And it can sometimes run the risk of just being too familiar to us. So familiar that we lose a sense of the tremendous awe and the majestic mystery of this magnificent act carried out for us. It was carried out for all creation, and it was carried out for us personally. As well as remembering the incredible miracle of the forgiveness of our sins as they were cast on to Jesus, and the incredible miracle of Jesus rising from the dead. We should also remind ourselves that it's not just a simple get out of jail free card. There are serious considerations for us, serious questions for us, as to how we should best live to the glory of God. And while it's great to have the safety net of knowing that as soon as we ask for forgiveness, it's granted to us, it doesn't excuse and nor should it encourage us to not act as we are called. The early disciples and the early followers stood up to what they were called to. And they struggled and faltered along the way too. But they walked knowing the grace of God and the power of the resurrection. We are God's disciples today, in this place, in Virginia Water, in the United Kingdom. And we too should do as we are called, knowing that as we struggle and falter, that God is here to pick us up, to forgive us, and encourage us onward in the journey with Him to His glory. So as we celebrate today, let us also consider how we can better celebrate every day, living the life of the resurrected people of God and worshipping God daily in all we do from now to eternity. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.